大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就把多大年就算大约就是一个做那么一个人出了本就算就 ဒါရှင်ညံကြီးကိုနေတန်လို့ကြောင့်ဒီနေ့ကျေရှင်စင်ကြီးသူတွေယူရပါတယ်ဒါညနေညနေလောင်းသူကြီးကဒီနေ့လားကျေစင်ကြီးသမကြီးရံကြီးမရှင်မရင်ဘေးညောင်းဝါဒီစမ်တာဒီနေ့ဒီချင်ပေါ်ရဲစမ်တာဒီနေ့ဇာတာဒီလင်ကျော်ကူစမ်တာရတဲ့ဒီစင်ကြီးနမကလစနေတေဝကူကိုရေဒုံကူကိုမာရဲဒီဇာစင်ကြီးသမကြီးတေဝတဲ့တန်ကိုတေဝတဲ့တန်ပါ ဒီမှာသာတော့ငေးချီဆရာတဲ့ဒီနေ့ငေးရေဆိုးဆိုးလေးတည်းကြီးငေးကြွားကြတဲ့သူပြည်နဲ့ဒီဒီဘုတ်ဒီချောင်းရတဲ့ချင်းစင်ကြထမ်းကြလေးဘဝတွေဘောရှောစံပေစံတာဒီနေ့ကိုမြတ်တဲ့ငါတို့ဒီနေ့အဲတာရှင်ညံကြွားကွန်ပါတယ်ရှင်။ဒါဒီရင်သာစံပြထမ်းကြွားတဲ့စံယောကဘဒီရင်သာစံပြထမ်းကြွားတဲ့စံယောကဘထောပါကြီးစံနေစံတာတဲ့ဒီနေ့တာရှင်ညံကြွားကိုလည်းကျေးဇူးစံကြပါဆရာရှင်။ဒီရှိရပါဒီရင်သ
Good evening to everyone on this cold, wet evening. So last week we looked at in some detail at the practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others. And we spoke about how this practice can be utilized as a skillful technique to give rise to the mind of enlightenment, the mind of bodhicitta. So for this method to be successful, or all meditation to be successful, it needs to be engaged in repeatedly over an extensive period. So to generate the mind of bodhicitta, one should engage in a meditation practice every day, gaining certainty that all beings have been our kind mothers in the past, and then generate a recollection of the kindness that they have shown us, to the point where this wish arises within us to repay the kindness that they have shown us. And then we take the meditation further, reminding ourselves of that all sentient beings are just like us in wanting to experience only happiness and not any form of problem or difficulty at all. Then reflecting on this further and further, to the point where one takes responsibility for freeing all beings from suffering, and for beings to experience only happiness. And to bring this about, the wish arises within one that whatever one has that is good, whether it's one's roots of virtue, one's life force, one's good conditions and material conditions and the like, whatever it is, I will offer to sentient beings so that all sentient beings can be happy. And whatever problems and difficulties they experience, I will take on myself so that they can be freed of problems. So in this way, one takes responsibility to free all beings from suffering and for all beings to experience lasting happiness. And then when the meditation goes to the final step, the step of to be really skillful in terms of guiding others to the state of Buddhahood, the state where they too have the greatest ability to be of benefit to others, as well as being free of all forms of suffering, I need to become a Buddha. And then one has given rise to the actual mind of bodhicitta. So this is what we looked at last week, and again the point was made that for meditation to be successful, it needs to be engaged in every day and over a sustained period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue with the text now, and so we're continuing with the section of equalizing and exchanging self with others, and so we'll talk tonight about the benefits of this practice as well as how to engage in this practice. And so tonight the text explains or presents the meaning of this practice through many stories. So the first one is a story about the being that would later become Shakyamuni Buddha. So in a previous lifetime, he was born into a family of where the father was a seafarer. And to this point, all their children, the father and wife, their children that had been born, they had all died. And now the being who would become the Buddha, the future Buddha's mother, gave birth to a boy. But fearful that this boy would die, like all the previous children, they named the boy daughter or girl.
The
child called daughter, the boy called daughter, whilst she was still he was still young, then her father died at sea when she was when he was on one of his voyages to get goods. He died at sea.
And then in the Buddha, that Buddha Chimbo Chada, Umbudi Amarilla Kistivares, then Yama, Ne Bala, Bavadi, and the Karichigores, and the Karigi.
When daughter grew up and became of an age when he would engage in the workforce, he asked his mother, "So what profession was my father? Did my father engage in?" Because this would, at that time, then the children tended to enter into the same work as their caste dictated, and so therefore he wanted to know, so what did my father do? Because one would assume, therefore, that he would go into that same field. Fearful that her son would now, her only child would now follow in his father's footsteps. And the mother said to him, your father was a grain merchant, so this is the caste or the lineage the family that you are born into, so this is the profession you should go into. Because the mother was afraid that her son would, if he followed in his father's footsteps, would also end up dying at sea. Working as a grain merchant, he made a small profit of 4, what's this, karsa, a day, and he gave this to his mother. But his fellow grain merchants criticized him and said, "This is not the work that you're born into. You should stop doing this work."
And then,
Then Dosa approached his mother and said, "There seems to be some mistake because my fellow grain merchants told me that this is not the work of my caste. So what should I be doing?" So the mother again told a little a lie and said, "Actually, the work you should be doing is that of an incense merchant." So then he engaged in this work, and he made a larger profit, that of 8 kapsa a day, which he gave to his mum. And the same thing happened again. His fellow incense merchant said to him, "This is not the work that you are born into. You are unwelcome competition. You should do the work that you were born into." So they chased him away. So this was despite him making larger profit. And then he went back to his mother again to ask, what work should he be engaging in? So this process continued through several different experiences where he was chased away from one type of work to another, and then eventually his fellow merchants told him that you were not born into the lineage of jewelry sellers. By this point, you become a jewelry seller. You were born into the work that your father actually did was to travel across the oceans, finding jewels and bringing them back and selling them. Your job is actually the caste you are born into is that of jewel merchant. Now, armed with this new knowledge, he approached his mother with this, and she admitted that this was the work he was meant to do. But she had kept the truth from him because she feared that if he followed in his father's footsteps, then he too, like his father, would end up dying.
And ဒီနာမကပဲဒါအမစင်ပြင်ကူရတာညမပါဝတီရဆနာလေဒီမရှိရဆာဒီပါဝကပါဝတီရဆနာလူစင်ဆောင်ကြဒီမရှိပါရဆမ်လို့ရှိပါတပူဒီရဆနာဘာချင်းချင်းဒီမရှိရဆမ်ကြအမတ်ပဲစင်တဲ့ချေဒီနစင်တဲ့ချေနကျင်းအမကတန်ကောဘဒူလုံးဖာလာထဲချင်းဒါကျမာရောရကျူကျူစင်ဒါတူချေဒီနမာတဲ့ငါချူရှာချက်တော့ပဲဒါချူချေဒီနရှိရမာရောဆာအမစင်တဲ့ချေချေဖောင်းငွေနဲ့ထဲနဲ့ရှားဒီ
But her son, daughter, insisted that and he wanted to follow in the footsteps of his father. He is his son's child and he will do the same work as his father. He will cross the oceans, he will get jewels, he will bring them back, sell them and make a great profit for his mother. And so he prepared and for his journey, and as he was setting out, his mother was distraught, and she grasped onto his clothing and begged him, "Please don't go, don't leave me. I'm petrified that you will die and I'll be left alone without a husband and without a child." But he became enraged at this, thinking that this behavior of his mother was inauspicious and would bring him bad luck, and lashed out at his mother and kicked his mother.
Unfortunately,
just like with his father, the ship was set sail, but sunk. And when the ship sunk, everyone except daughter died. Daughter managed to live by holding onto a plank, and this eventually floated ashore. Sorry, these stories, some of them are a little long. And sometimes, yeah, if we think about the story, there may be some gaps, but that's okay. The meaning here is it will come. But anyway, he was washed ashore, safe and sound.
He
got washed ashore and then he moved inland and he eventually came to a small town, and there he came to a beautiful home and he went inside and he was well taken care of. He was looked after, given somewhere comfortable to rest, and he was given a delicious food, the three whites, the three sweets, so he was well taken care of. But despite being looked after well there after his shipwreck, he had this urge to leave and to travel on. And as he was leaving, he was warned, "If you want to go, that's your choice. But don't go south. If you travel south, problems will follow." If you go south, you will encounter many difficulties. So please do not travel south.
Denegi,
Even though he continued his journey, but he went south despite the advice. He went south, he came to an even larger town, and there he went into an even more beautiful house, and he was once again cared for well, fed well, given somewhere comfortable to stay. So he was now in an environment even better than before. But yet the urge to travel on was strong, and so he came to leave. But he received the same advice as before. He was urged not to travel southwards because he would encounter grave danger if he traveled southwards. So this process continued a few times. He went from one town to the next, and each town was better, and he received even better care. But he always felt this urge to leave. And at the point of departure, he was always told, "You're welcome to stay, but if you want to go, that's fine, but don't go south." And he continued to ignore this advice. So why, if you're wondering, why is he leaving these very comfortable environments that that he has come across, bearing in mind he was shipwrecked, he nearly died, and then he came across very comfortable environments, and where he was well fed, well looked after, etc. But he kept leaving, and he'd find somewhere better out of good fortune, but he would still want to leave. And it's not as if he had a particular plan or he had received information that in a particular direction there was an even better situation. He had no idea. But yet, he still had this urge to leave and move on. And so this would be due to the power of his previously accumulated karma. So this previously accumulated karma was being experienced in the way of this strong desire to move on, to travel. So he had this strong urge, this strong wish, which appeared to be reasonless, but the reason, of course, was he had accumulated this karma, and he was being propelled by this karma to keep leaving these good conditions and move on. So sorry, I haven't mentioned the page number yet. We're near the top of 226. So now he continued on his journey, always going southward despite the repeated advice. And now he comes to a huge tower, which is so large as it seems to be touching the sky, and it's all made out of iron.
Oh,
In front of the house was one, a being with a large body and was black with blazing red eyes and holding up in his arm a large iron bar. Startled by this very different kind of abode before him, he asked this this guard before the home, what's happening here? But no answer was forthcoming. Entering into the home, he was startled by seeing many beings such as the one who was standing outside the house. Now a great fear arose in him, and he realized that this is what he had been warned about. He had been repeatedly told not to go southwards, he had ignored that advice, and it's because of this danger that he had been warned. And he in the house, he saw someone who had an apparition on top of his head, like a wheel, similar to the shape of this fan, that was spinning around and smashing his head open and pulverizing his brains and causing him tremendous pain.
So now
great fear arose within him, and he thought, because he's seeing this being suffering in front of him, great fear arose within him, and this being who was suffering at this wheel spinning around on his head, pulverizing his head, then asked a daughter, why did you travel here? I know the road you've come along. You moved from one beautiful mansion to another, and in each you're well cared for, and you had everything one could wish for. But why did you come and end up here? The daughter, full of fear, didn't actually reply, but rather asked the question and asked, why are you suffering in this way? What have you done that you are now experiencing such a result? And then this person explained that previously he had kicked his mother in her head. Then the fear rose within him, because he immediately recalled that when he set out on his journey, he too also kicked the head of his mother in rage. And so now fear arose in him, because he knew he too had accumulated the same karma. Then a voice cried out from the sky, let those who are bound be freed, and those who are free be bound.
many midi pasha, and didn't move to the Kuo or Leveres. Tale Lene, Dakoran did not do Chima, Masuage, and did not lever the third bed. Dakor Nazuna, Nanakama, you turn the tail to that. Call some coars, Danga, the Nigi, Mingema, Migi, Amiko, and the Shushin, then the Tifa shoes are that the Nekan and Yumu Chevors. Tada Dina Nanashin. Amalia Dumen Chanya Gama taken Duma Yong Gatiores, I think that is Chazan. You must send Diniki Lesage, Dumadi Chazan, no more. Dinning Chazan Adil, Nidil Yonchin,
所以 as soon as this voice had made this proclamation, then immediately the wheel disappeared from the being's head in front of him and appeared on his own head and started spinning and smashed his skull open and pulverized his brains, causing him tremendous pain and suffering. And at that moment, he realized that not only did he was experiencing all this pain, or despite experiencing this unbearable pain, he realized that many other beings too were suffering in this way. And compassion arose with him, and he made the heartfelt, sincere wish that as I am now suffering the karmic result of my actions, may I too experience the suffering that all beings have, the suffering causes that all beings have previously accumulated. May no being suffer like I am right now. May all beings who are suffering in the same way that I am right now, may that suffering ripen on me, and may they thereby be purified of these causes. And all beings who have these causes on their continuum, may those causes ripen upon me right now, and may I alone experience them. May others not experience these causes at all. May they be freed from them. And furthermore, whatever virtue I've accumulated in the past, whatever store of merit and happiness that I have on my continuum, I offer this to beings so beings can experience only lasting happiness. But rather, their suffering, that suffering causes they have accumulated, may all of them, without exception, ripen upon me right now in this experience. So thinking like this, compassion arose in him, and compassion arose on him due to the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. Thinking like engaging in this practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others, but with a sincere or an authentic motivation, he accumulated tremendous virtue, and that was sufficient to destroy this wheel. Then through the power of this compassion which was manifest now in his continuum, he was purified of this wheel that had been beating him, and not only that, but his body healed. And furthermore, the text describes that he rose up into the sky, etc. But the meaning of that really is that due to the power of compassion, he was freed or liberated from this, from suffering, and his body healed. So if one was to experience something as was described here, I think there's no disagreement that the pain would be quite tremendous. So it's also quite possible that the compassion arose in him on the basis of equalizing and exchanging self with others, even before this wheel started pulverizing his own brain, and therefore it was able, due to the compassion arising, this wheel disappeared and he wasn't actually harmed. So the way I've just described it actually is found in other descriptions of this story. So in some stories we have it as is here, that he himself experienced this pain. In other texts it says that he generated compassion even before the wheel started spinning and pulverizing his own brain.
Did all the Gimsendi?
Gosson. And so when thinking about the meaning of this well-known story, we should also recall to mind our teachings that we had previously on karma, when it was presented that the strength of the karma is determined by a number of factors, and one of the factors is the object to which the action is done. So an action that is done towards a very powerful object, such as one's parents or one's teacher, will result in a very powerful karmic result. Whereas an action done to another sentient being will not, the same action done to another sentient being will not have the same strength. So in this case, daughter kicked his mother in the head, and he did so out of rage. And his mother at the time was out of love for her child, not wanting her child to put himself in great danger and be in all probability he would die. So with this love for her child, she held on to him. And his response to this display of love was anger. And not only a mind of anger, but he acted on that anger. He kicked his mother. So this was a very powerful act towards his mother. If he had done it towards someone else, it still would have been, of course, a powerful negative deed, but nowhere of the magnitude. And so that is because of the power of the object. So one's parents, one's spiritual teacher, these are very powerful objects that one can either make a great virtue or non-virtue with regard to. So in this case, he created very strong negative karma in relation to his mum, and that there, and because of the strength of it, it ripened in this life. And normally the ripening effects of actions don't come in the same life that they were accrued, but because of the power of this particular action, it actually ripened in this life. And it was the karma of that action that was propelling him to move from one comfortable home to the next, but always heading towards the ripening effect, the final ripening effect of his action. Then furthermore, the meaning of the story is that this being a daughter had generated very powerful negative karma. However, despite the powerful negative karma that he had accumulated in this life, he was still able to, through the skillful practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others, generate a powerful mind of compassion. So therefore, if one has, despite having generated powerful negativities in the past, he was still able to generate a very powerful virtuous mind. And because of the power of that virtuous mind, he was able to purify very heavy negative karma.
Logic, Then
A karmic seed to ripen, it needs a number of conditions to come together, and then the karmic seed will ripen. And once those conditions are together, the seed ripens. And if so, even when the seed is ripening, it can be purified or it can be limited. For example, if a sprout is just starting to come through the soil, so it's ripening, but one covers it with wood, then it is stopped. However, if the sprout is particularly strong, it may continue to grow under the ground and come up on the side of, the piece of wood. So this is kind of like him being pulled to the south by the power of this karmic imprint that he had accumulated. It's kind of like the sprout growing under the ground, underneath this piece of wood that had been placed on top of it, and then coming up and ripening in the suffering experience in this iron home. And we can also maybe see this kind of thing, how a karma when it's ripening, but can still be changed in a, I think it was an event last week, where someone was to be imprisoned in America, but then the president pardoned him. So someone had committed, a number of crimes, and he was had been sentenced to a year in jail. But he had a very powerful friend, and his powerful friend, President Trump, decided that jail was no place for this criminal and pardoned him. So there he had some good karma coming along to stand in the way of his previously accumulated negativities. So what we, in this analogy of the presidential pardon, what we see here is the power of a virtuous karma to interrupt the ripening of non-virtuous karma. So this is also, of course, what happened in the story. He generated great compassion, daughter generated great compassion, and then this purified the previously accumulated negative karma, which was currently being experienced. So this shows the power of bodhicitta or compassion for purifying previously accumulated negativities. And moreover, it not only purifies previously accumulated negativities, but it also inhibits the accumulation of new non-virtue.
So for those
who aspire for the Mahayana and those who have even attained the Mahayana path, the Bodhisattvas, they have as a main practice this practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others.
ちゃんと、だんだん、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で
Don't
take a new to say that there's a new to say that Alma do your mother. I didn't know there's a new to say your mother. Thinking Charles and don't say that. That take a new to say that. Take a new to say that. New yours, new you said, Dinigi. And Javana, this will dedicate a new dimmer. So who to send me some dana, Yahoo Maris.
There's just a little bit of confusion because this one word dre can have different meanings with different spellings. And so this dre is causing harm. So I was wondering, so is this as a result is causing harm? Is it rice that's causing harm? Or is it a spirit causing harm? It's all the same word. So again, they laughed and said, he's the only one being diabetic who suffers harm from rice. So of course it's a spirit. So Genla doesn't know if you believe in spirits, but certainly those from Tibet and India do believe in spirits. And if one is experiencing harm from a spirit, then as in terms of protecting oneself from harm, then this generation of compassion through a method such as equalizing and exchanging self from others is very effective to stopping the harm that is being received or preventing harm from being received.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we come at the top of page 227 to a story about Geshe Chekhova. So he was very learned in texts of the new and old traditions, so such as the Nyingma and the Kagyu and the Sakya and Goluk traditions.
And
he went to see someone called Geshe Chagsingwa, and on his pillow there was the text, the 8 verses of mind training by Geshe Chekhova, but they were just had these two lines, and he read the two lines: offer gain and victory to others, take loss and defeat for yourself. So reading these two lines, offer gain and victory to others and take loss and defeat for yourself, a great yearning arose within him to come to understand this text and to receive teachings on this text. And so then he asked who composed this text, and he was told it's by Geshe Langri Tangpa. He went to Lhasa, and there he first engaged in accumulation of merits through going around doing circumambulation and the like.
이시 랑타바세 룸베기 랑나세 룸베디 미스라 지난딘데 랑나세네 용 용레스 미지 미지 투송스 미지 이시 랑나와 히사레스 나 레스콜라
And so this name Langpangpa refers to a place in Tibet, and so his name is that of an era, the era that he's from. And so Geshe Cheka was asking about Geshe Langpangpa, if he is in the era that he's from or in Lhasa, and he was told, actually, he's died. And so then Geshe Chekwa asked, who should I go to receive teachings now on this wonderful text? Who is considered the lineage holder of this text? So he's told, well, in Geshe Langpangpa's monastery, he had many students, but amongst those students, there are two who are foremost, and they are Shangshupa and Dodepa. And so but between these two, they're having a bit of disagreements. So these two practitioners, being practitioners of mind training, they weren't arguing out of pride, one wanting to asserting himself as being the holder of the lineage. Rather, they were both pushing the case of the other, where one was saying, you are the elder, you should take the lineage and I will serve you. And the other one saying, no, you should take the lineage because you are more learned than I am and I will serve you. So it was an unusual agreement. But I guess Chekwa didn't understand it in that way and he saw it as a fault. So then he was asked, so who else is renowned for the practice of this text and I can receive instructions from? So then he was advised to seek out Geshe Sharawa. Geshe Cheka went off to Geshe Sharawa's monastery, where fortunately at the time he was teaching a large Sangha assembly, because of course in those days in Tibet there were many ordained students, and so he was teaching several thousand. And so Geshe Cheka joined the assembly and received the teachings for a few days, listening attentively for those two precious lines. So Geshe Chekwa thought himself, I wonder if Geshe Sharawa has this lineage, if he knows these teachings. He's clearly learned, he's been teaching for several days and to many students. But I have yet to hear what I'm seeking. And then so some doubt arose within his mind. But then fortunately he came across Geshe Sharova whilst he was doing some circumambulation. And then he stopped Geshe Sharova and said to him, "May I please ask a question?"
Then Geshe Sharova said, "Oh, that kid, I'm going to do a
And he was told, "Whatever questions you have, you're free to ask."
And then he recited
these two lines, "Offer gain and victory to others, take loss and defeat for yourself." And he said he came across these a little while ago, and he was greatly inspired by them. And so he requested, "Do you have this lineage?" And in response, Geshe Sharova said, "Yes, I do, and not only do I, but this is my main practice." And he gave such a clear response because he knew that Geshe Chekwa had some doubt in his mind. And the reason I practice this, I have this as my main practice, is because if anyone who has the wish to actually attain the state of Buddhahood, this practice is indispensable.
Geshe
Sharova didn't immediately agree to give the teaching on this. He said, "I will only teach this to you if you are able to stay with me for a protracted period of time." Geshe Chekwa said he could, and therefore for 6 years they were together. For 6 years, under the guidance of Geshe Sharova, Geshe Chekwa practiced these this text, the 8 verses of mind training. And during this period he practiced the equalizing, exchanging self with others, and this mind of this practice was born within him. For practitioners such as ourselves, we should look at this and be a little surprised. We probably are. To think that someone did this one practice for 6 years. We'll do it once or twice, or maybe if we are feeling particularly brave, we'll do it for a few weeks or a month or so, and then it's done. But he did this one practice for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows the reason why Geshe Showa replied by saying, I will only teach you this short teaching if you commit to staying with me for a long time. And the meaning is, you stay with me for a long time and practice this intensely with joyous perseverance over a sustained period. Because if I just teach it to you and you memorize the text and you practice here with me for a few days and then you wander off and continue on your journey, then no benefit will come. Change will not come to your mind. You will not give rise to the precious mind of Bodhicitta. So the main meaning of this story is that for meditation to be successful, for our mind to be transformed, we need to make great effort, and we need to do this over a sustained period for a protracted amount of time, so repeatedly over a sustained period. Without doing that, and just doing it now and again, or doing it maybe over a long period for a year, but just sometimes, then change is not going to come. And especially the kind of change that is unwavering, where this change is really part of you. This new mind that you've cultivated in meditation is really part of you. Then this takes great effort over a sustained period of time. What we've heard here then is through engaging in this practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others, repeatedly over a sustained period, one accumulates a tremendous amount of virtue. It's a particularly powerful technique for this generation of virtue, and it leads to the cultivation of the actual mind of Bodhicitta. So here we see in this text an illustration of someone who practiced repeatedly or continuously for 6 years in order to generate bodhicitta. His Holiness, when he recently said about himself in terms of this practice in the generation of bodhicitta, he said it took him 40 years to generate bodhicitta. And then
这个起码的牛毛还大出来，就那用过的程度，就算你那些啊，那你像一个牛把牛把接下来，牛把把大型牛就捆绑的，那新型牛把洗出来的，那就那用过的啥子？那大型牛就捆绑的，你上有捆绑头发了，你做的是，你后面的这就先把南京的的牛人做的那个啥子，你送多少的呢？
This practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others, as we've heard repeatedly, is a very powerful technique for the cultivation of bodhicitta, and it's seen as a main cause for the attainment of Buddhahood. So if you're going through this practice of generating the strong wish to take on the suffering of others and to accumulate virtue specifically so that one can offer these roots of virtue, these roots of lasting happiness to others, so that others can experience happiness within their own continuum. This serves to, of course, accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue. Then secondly, to purify previously accumulated negative karma. And then thirdly, what the previously accumulated negative karma that is not purified will ripen, but ripen in a much weaker experience than if it was left as it was. So therefore, in this life, whatever difficulties one experiences as a practitioner of exchanging self for others, those are going to be karmic seeds, of heavy negative karmic seeds that we have accumulated in the past, but have been substantially weakened, and now are ripening as far smaller sufferings. So sufferings that could have, or negative karma that could have led us into, propelled us into a rebirth in the lower realms, we could experience in this life as an illness, for example. And thereby, in our future lives, we will be spared having to take a lower realm rebirth because we will experience that karma only as an illness in this life. So these are some of the many benefits that come from this practice. Practitioner of equalizing exchanging self for others, whenever they experience problems in this life, such as illness, even severe illness, they would actually rejoice or generate joy in their mind because they know that due to the power of their practice, previously accumulated negativities are now ripening in a weak manner, and so therefore they will not have to experience the full force of this negative karma in a future life. And moreover, they will use this opportunity, so that's one reason. A second reason that they'd be joyful despite a suffering experience is because they'd use this opportunity so as to take on suffering of others. And then this virtue that they accumulate, with sincerity, they would make the prayer or the aspiration that virtue ripens on others. So that others who haven't, for example, others who haven't yet come into contact with the Dharma, may they come into contact with the Dharma. With those who are born in a land where the Dharma is not present, or they're born in an area where there is no Dharma teacher, may Dharma teachers appear there, and may they be connected to those beings and teach those beings. So in this way, the practitioner is able to transform negative situations into positive situations, transform their own suffering into experiences of joy in their own minds, and with sincerity dedicate all the virtue so that others experience that virtue. And knowing that through this practice, they are of course strengthening their own connection with the Dharma, and whilst they are dedicating this virtue to all sentient beings, the practitioner of equalizing and exchanging self for others of course knows that they are accumulating virtue which they too will experience. But they would have the aspiration that may they be born in their future lives in areas where there are no Dharma teachers, where there are beings who are not being taught what should be adopted and what should be abandoned. In other words, how to accumulate virtue and how to abandon non-virtue. And they would generate the strong wish that may they be of benefit to such beings, beings who are most lost and in need of a guide.
We'll
finish here then for tonight in the middle of page 228. So tonight, of course, we continued with this presentation on exchanging self for others. So, as we all know, throughout our day we do experience various problems and frustrations and difficulties, and sometimes in our life we do have particularly large problems which do consume us. So with these problems, especially with the smaller ones that we are experiencing right now, we should try and generate this sincere understanding based on the cultivation of the, or based on the recognition that all beings have been our mothers, that all beings want to experience the kindness that others have shown us, and the wish to repay the kindness, and then the meditation on that all beings only want to experience happiness and not suffering, that we, based on that, that all the difficulties we experience in the day, that as we encounter these frustrations and annoyances, we give rise to the thought, initially we intentionally give rise to the thought, later it will spontaneously arise, that by me experiencing this difficulty right now, this frustration or annoyance right now, may no other being who is experiencing this experience it again, or rather, may every other being who is experiencing this right now, may they be freed of it, may it ripen on me. May all beings who have accumulated the causes to experience this suffering, this difficulty, may it ripen on me right now. And by me being as a representative of all beings, may I experience their suffering. And we train ourselves like this each and every day and throughout the day. So in the morning we do our meditation, and then throughout the day as we encounter the various annoyances and frustrations that we do meet, we generate this mind. Again, first intentionally, and later it will arise spontaneously. And in training in this way, we'll accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue. And as this wish becomes more and more sincere, when we've engaged in the practice, we know we've accumulated the virtue, we'll spontaneously also dedicate our virtue to others. And we'll do it with sincerity. May others experience the virtue that I myself have accumulated right now. And in this way, our mind will be happy because we will be our life will be meaningful. And through our life being meaningful, great joy will arise within us. And our life will be meaningful in that we know we are being of benefit to others, and we are progressing towards being of the state of greatest benefit to others, the state of omniscience. So we ourselves will experience great joy no matter what we encounter. And being happy, being kind-hearted, the friends and companions and loved ones that we currently have in our life, they will receive great benefit from us. And those people that we now, that for us now are just mere acquaintances, or those whose acquaintance we are yet to make, they will naturally be drawn to us to them, and our circle of companions will grow and expand. So therefore, not only will we be more joyous, but we will be of benefit to others, and others will enjoy being in our presence. And so, we've heard it tonight, especially in this last story, the need to not only engage in this practice, but to do so repeatedly over a sustained period. And when we are giving rise to this mind of exchanging, equalizing, exchanging self for others, doing so in a natural way, in an uncontrived way, then we can be sure that when our own breath ceases and our own death comes, that in our next rebirth we will once again attain a precious human rebirth marked with all the freedoms and opportunities. We'll continue to, in lifetime after lifetime, to have good conditions, to meet a spiritual friend, to have interest in the Dharma, to have faith in the teacher, and to continue in our progression of mental development and our beneficial activities to others.
Okay.
So next week we'll start in the middle page 28, where we'll look at the last section in the last part of this chapter, and considering others as more important than oneself. So we'll look at how to practice this, as well as how to practice like holy beings. So that's where we'll start next week. So if there are any questions, please feel free to ask. If anyone needs to go and can't stay, please feel free to go. So some questions. So,
yeah, Martin. In terms of wanting to benefit somebody who doesn't want to have anything to do with you, shutting you out, you can still do this practice and still still go forward with that.
Mm-hmm. So someone that one has doesn't have a good connection with, that is maybe wants nothing to do with you, if can one still be of benefit to them through engaging in this practice? Yeah?
Then, Kol macam macam, susun kol miga or sama lagi tu. Sebab dini ke dasar niem je, ni je, kokom je, tak kol je dini sen. Namsa, namsa mana ni kol kanga tu, pasai si tuh malah dia ni susu kita, sehelai kol je, nyobi ke sampai di masuk cung cung tu gua, kol jele sampai dah tu, nyobi cung tu gua. Dini ke dah dua kompa ni, dini buat cewa ni kiri ni susu ke kol cewa cewa tu, ane music cung kol ada.
So when one engages in the practice with someone with whom you don't have a good relationship with, in the initial period, all the benefit will come to yourself. So any if you have any hostility towards them, that will certainly change. Or if your mind is particularly perturbed by the disturbed by the relationship you have with this person, it's not the relationship you'd like. We want to be harmonious with everyone. If the disturbance that you're experiencing due to this unfortunate situation, that too will be pacified. And then furthermore, for yourself, your own minds of love, these will grow and develop. So for the beginning of the practice and for a sustained period, all the benefit comes to yourself. At a later point, when you do meet, by that point your mind would have developed a lot. And then when you meet, then the relationship it may well change. And the previous hostility from their side, that then may be pacified and subdued. In dependence on their own inner development, as well as you've changed a lot. Because they, in this period of time, would have gone through their own process, maybe calmed down about the problem, yeah? So that's one part of the equation. And the other part is then your own change. And then when you meet in the future, then that would be apparent too. And then benefits to them can come. Okay. Any other questions? Then thank you very much. See you next week. Yeah.
Oh, God.